Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, last month, the UK's education watchdog Ofsted released a report on what it described as the alarming level of children missing school becoming a stubborn and damaging issue. There's also been figures released here to show the issue of school absenteeism being a concern, particularly in more disadvantaged areas. But the Ofsted report identified flexi schooling, where children attend school on some days of the week and are educated by their parents on others at home. It's a practice that has grown in recent years, and with many students at primary and secondary school already carrying out a lot of their work online, could this be something that would work in Irish schools, and could it also help tackle some absenteeism, which Tusla has said is now 25% higher than it was before the pandemic? Well, joining me now to discuss this are Craig Petrie, principal of East Glendalough School in Wicklow, and Kevin Shortall, principal of St Aidan's Community School in Tallaght. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Colin. How are you?
Craig, obviously, look, school absenteeism is a very complex issue. There's varying reasons behind it. But looking at this issue of flexi schooling that was raised that was a matter of interest to Ofsted, we do live in a world where young people are digital natives, and whatever they do, they can do it online. Should online learning play a greater role in what they're doing day to day? And could it offer opportunities in school for it to be done more flexibly?
I think there's an opportunity there that this is possible. I'm not sure that we're well set up for it at the moment, and that would be my worry. I think that the system that we have at the moment is heavily dependent on being in school, being in class, particularly when we get to senior cycle and there's pressure on for leaving cert subjects. But I think certainly as our students go on out into the world beyond our classrooms and into the world of work or third level, these are skills that they then need to have to negotiate. I think that there's a possibility that maybe as we go into leaving cert reform, it's something that could be looked at. But I would say certainly at the moment we're poorly set up for this, and so I'd worry about us trying to go down the line of following what are really quite deep and in-depth subject specifications in a hybrid model or in a part-time model. I just worry that we're not going to get the most out of our schooling experience, and that maybe if we do it poorly, we're going to encourage absenteeism and not facilitate those students within school, and we miss out on the socialisation and all of the positive experiences that they may have within the school environment.
All right, Kevin, even hardware was a challenge during the pandemic. I mean, if this was to be introduced, you'd need standardised hardware, training and agreement, at least amongst educational publishers and providers of online learning as to how that might be rolled out.
Absolutely, Colm. Schools are different up and down the country. Some are very well equipped with all sorts of digital resources and every amount of no shortage of ability to do this. And then other schools would need help from the state. So if we were going to go down that road, there'd have to be a very serious conversation and a lot of investment in particular schools. But the schools are doing this. Since COVID, most schools now have Google Classroom or Microsoft, where students, my own daughter's in school and she checks homework at night. She looks at videos that have been put up during the day. There's communication outside of school hours. So, I mean, we're at the threshold of something in this regard anyway, and we're not going to be able to stop that. The other thing as well is we have a lot of Ukrainian students in our school, and they do a hybrid model from home as well as in Ireland. But the funny thing is they believe very firmly that being physically in school in Ireland is important, because if it wasn't the case, they would just do their hybrid school from Ukraine. But there's that whole socialisation piece. There's that kind of very important notion that we're kind of is growing all the time now in schools, that students and young people being together, communicating, learning how to resolve conflict, learning how to get on. That's very important. So I wouldn't want to get to a situation where we moved very much one way or the other. And then there's the whole thing as well about an age group as well. It would suit older students. I think it'd be very important for older students to become really invested and proactive.
Right. Do you mean when you say older students, are you talking about people maybe post transition year, you know, after TY, they may have had a bit of an experience of balancing their own hours, juggling work experience with whatever school work is on offer that maybe they could carry forward some of that into fifth and sixth year? Is that the kind of age group you're talking?
Yes, correct. And there's nothing better than seeing a student really, really invested in their learning and with a huge goal in mind in relation to school. And when that happens, nothing, you worry about nothing else because it's their own impetus, it's their own interest. And I, to be honest with you, I think we all solutions to school refusal and to lack of interest in school should be discussed. I mean, at the end of the day, our schooling model is, it's kind of, Ken Robinson has said, it's still very much based on the Industrial Revolution. You know, we start with a bell, we end with a bell. We all sit in rows. And, you know, so let's have a broader conversation about what school is about and what the important things are. And the pieces that we can look at online, the pieces that we can look at to get students more invested, let's go with those. And then the other important things about well-being and socialisation and being together and growing up as a society in harmony with kind of tolerance and inclusion, they have to be done physically. Right. With people together in a building.
Craig, just looking at the recent figures from the 2022-2023 school year, they were published there, and Carl O'Brien in the Irish Times was doing a bit of an analysis of it, but 40% of pupils in disadvantaged areas missed 20 or more school days in the year. Obviously, school avoidance is, you know, an issue in some cases. Some of it would need to be drilled into to get to the root of it. But would some form of hybrid schooling for those who are school reluctant or school refusing, could that be a way of transitioning people back into the school where they begin on a kind of a part-time timetable, building them up with the appropriate help to get them back to full-time school?
I think that has to be the model. Certainly that's what we would be looking to do in our school, with any school, with any students who are having difficulty attending. We start more or less with a blank slate and see what can we get done? What can we get you in for? Can we get an hour or 2 hours? Can we get two blocks in? Can we get back to full time? And I know that certainly the National Education Welfare Board, their education welfare officers, they are the gatekeepers for a program called iSchool, which is exactly that, for students who are who aren't attending school, that there is an online platform, but it's not just it's not YouTube. It's with a tutor. It's something that they're interacting with someone with a view to getting certification. Now, it's not necessarily designed with the idea of getting full time back to school. I think that's something that we need to be encouraging. But those models are there. I think they can be expanded. Because school, as you rightly point out, is the place where the learning happens. Kevin said the same thing, where we socialise, where we get to know each other. And importantly, I think we need to be supporting our students through that. Schools increasingly are where the pastoral care of our students takes place, where the emergencies in our lives are mediated as we go through primary and secondary school. And this would be another string to our bow. It would be something that we could use to support our students, rather than something that comes in as a last resort,
okay,
which I think is where we are at the moment.
And what about the additional supports? And Kevin, if you want to come in on this as well, the additional supports that would be needed for students who maybe are in that kind of a home learning environment, is there an element of emotional support that's needed there if they are people who have anxiety or another challenge that's preventing them from going back to school? Craig, if you want to go first on that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think at schools, we find ourselves incredibly stretched in trying to reach those students because we have a limited amount of support from NEPs, parents who can afford to avail of private psychologist or psychotherapist will have an advantage there. I think schools will need far more resourcing if we're going to get to the root of this problem, because as teachers, we're simply not trained in this. We're trained in maybe some of the interventions, but not necessarily in the structures and the diagnosis that go around that. So I think that investment in therapy and therapy supports within schools, which is beginning and is starting to be rolled out, is something that we need to see a huge push on if we're going to be in a position to offer this and target it in the appropriate way.
All right, Kevin.
Yes, but like what Craig says there, but schools need to be involved in the conversation because they know their students. And the reasons for school refusal, the reasons for poor attendance, as you said yourself, Colm, they're very complex. But if schools are involved in the conversation, we generally have a very good idea about the reason why a student isn't attending. And if we have additional resources in order to combat that, in our own school, we've homeschool community liaison and so on. So we keep the communication up, talk to the students and the people involved, and are given the latitude as well to design, as Craig said, we start small, but to design interventions and programs that will work for these particular students. Now, having said that, there's only so much time, so it's very important that we have those additional resources and those hours and those people to do these things.
All right. Craig, one of the things that Ofsted noticed as well was an increase in the absence of pupils from school on a Friday, and some of those coming at least from homes where the parents were working from home. Maybe there'd been a kind of a disruption to the usual Monday to Friday regime during the lockdown in both work and school, and that this had continued, particularly on a Friday. Is that something that sounds familiar, or would you have seen it maybe on other days in your own environment?
It's not a pattern that we've picked up on directly in terms of specific days. Certainly we've noticed that it's more straightforward for students to get home if they're ill, and that on some occasions it's more straightforward when somebody is at home full time as a parent, that it's easier to have a child who might have been sent in 10 years ago when they were a little under the weather, that they are staying at home now. But it's not. We haven't seen a pattern of Friday refusal or Monday refusal that's specifically linked to that. You're always going to get a certain number of students, particularly at the senior end of the school, in any school, where Mondays or Fridays might be difficult at a particular time of the year. But in general, we haven't seen that's linked to having parents at home.
All right, Kevin.
We noticed a pattern some years ago of very poor attendance on Friday afternoon. So we went with a half day on a Friday, and we have Fun Friday now, where everybody wears their tracksuit, even including the staff. And we've noticed a huge increase in attendance on a Friday. So Friday is a day you need to be in and you want to be in. Now, does that mean that we're going to start having problems on Thursday afternoons? Hopefully not. but you know, we've got to respond and read the signs. One size fits all won't do anything. But it's great to see such reports looking at things that are outside what we thought were sacred cows. And I think the more we can do to get people back into school and being involved in their learning and being invested in it, let's do it.
All right. And further research was needed. It would seem to be one of the conclusions of the Ofsted report. They were noticing what were potentially trends, but maybe saying that the hard data wasn't there. Would you both feel that maybe there needs to be a body of research done, and apologies if it's already being done, into this to try and gain a better understanding for the benefit of schools, parents, and indeed the pupils themselves?
Yeah, and I think really we need to get involved the students. The student voice is really important here. Some of the best interventions and lessons and solutions to problems will come from the students themselves.
Okay.
And let's get them involved in the conversation.
Craig?
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to have a solid base and even an idea for each of us in our own schools. Kevin's designed a really successful intervention there for Friday afternoon. That won't necessarily work for the next school down the road. So even to have the tools for schools to know what is it we need to be looking at, how can we go about that? And as Kevin says, involving our students and our parents, as well as our staff, in looking at the whole gamut of what we might be able to offer.
Okay, there we have to leave it. Craig Petrie, Principal of East Glendalough School in Wicklow. And before that, Kevin Shortall, Principal of St Aidan's Community School. Tala, we're back in a minute.
Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.